Hello and welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Robert Digital.
I'm Mender's Logic.
I'm Flopsy, and this is the podcast by PC Gamers for PC Gamers.
Coming up, we've got Gauntlet, Endless Legend, Outlast, The Whistleblower, and a major Steam update. All right, so what are we going to start with, Gauntlet or Endless Legend?
Let's cover Gauntlet.
Gauntlet, yeah. Gauntlet. I think we all played it. Yeah.
Okay.
Even now we got in the action. Is that the first time we've played with Elby? For the podcast?
I think so. And it was a four-player game, so perfect fit. We've got the magic number now.
And P.S., he's fucking terrible.
we'll talk about who's terrible in a minute.
I know he's listening, but he's terrible.
Oh, boy. All right, so Gauntlet... It is developed by Arrowhead Game Studios, same guys who made Magicka.
Oh, really?
Oh, that makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I had no idea. Yeah. Why does it make sense, Chef?
Because the mage is the Magicka
character. The wizard is the Magicka character.
Want to explain it?
Well, it's a twin-stick shooter slash dungeon crawler, I guess, is how you would classify it. Let's talk about how this game was received, first of all. I checked the scores. 79 on Game Informer. They're the only ones with a review up so far. And then Steam, the reviews have been very positive. According to the new way Steam does their ratings, it's very positive. Hmm. So I think people generally like this.
I will disagree with... Let's call it an 80. And I generally disagree with the 80.
Okay.
You guys seem to like it a lot more than I... Like, I'm done with Gauntlet. I don't want to play it anymore.
You're already over it.
I'm pretty much over it, too.
Yeah.
If you're not playing the Archer, then you pretty much are having a bad time.
That is strange.
That is not true.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say that I liked it a lot more than you guys, obviously. And I think that's because I played the Wizard. And as we mentioned earlier, the Wizard is basically the Magicka character.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but there was three different magic types. Electrical, fire, and ice.
That
was the three different types.
And you mix each one. You can take two from each. So you can go fire, that's one spell. Fire, ice, that's another spell. Ice, fire is another spell. So you're constantly doing these combinations with your keyboard and your clicks on the mouse to make these different spells. And you really feel like a wizard casting spells. Like, there's a trick to it. And
what Magicka had.
Yeah.
It made you feel like you were casting spells.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah.
And it's great in this as well. But
the other characters, that's where the problem is, right? And you guys played a lot more of the other characters. So how did you feel about those?
For me, this game lacks depth. There's no depth. It's super, super simple. It's like you have left click, spacebar, and shift, I believe is all there is.
Left click and right click.
Left click, right click, spacebar, and shift. Four buttons. Yeah. Four buttons and directional. Twin stick shooter.
Twin stick.
Yeah,
so
sure.
You got the four up top.
But
you're using.
You could add stuff like stats. They didn't.
Or a loop pinata mechanics.
Like random drops. But why add drops if you don't have stats? There's no stats. Now, I understand it's a simple game. You know, the original... I think this is what they're going for. Now, I have to give it credit. It works. The game works. There's tiny glitches, but what really doesn't have tiny glitches? Yeah. The game works, and four-player co-op, the net code, amazing. We didn't have one hang-up, correct?
Yeah.
And that's becoming very uncommon, I feel like, these days. How many times have we jumped into a game and just spent 20 minutes just trying to get into the same game that works?
Dude, it seems like people are getting worse at coding, net coding. It does.
I think the games are getting more complicated.
Yeah, that's probably more.
But to its credit, this game did not have any issues like that. We all got in, no problem, got into a game, and there was no lag. It was good. So that was that's a plus. I also kind of felt like each class kind of had a different role. You know, it wasn't just like four guys trying to wipe out waves of minions. I kind of felt like the wizard does the crowd control. He's also got area of effect. The elf is more single target damage. The warrior or barbarian, he's more of an in-your-face melee combat. He can kind of tank a little bit. But
they dropped the ball on that one.
You think so? Yeah. He's the one I played the least.
The Valkyrie is supposed to be the tank one because she's got a shield block.
Okay.
But I wasn't using it in that manner, which I should have.
Like, you were just right-clicking the whole time
because
you thought it was cool.
I think if I had spent some more time...
I was getting really upset with you guys. Like, I felt like I was the only one hitting the tower. I was really mad.
Well, you were playing the archer, which is the one that's...
He's really hard to play.
Yeah, you point at things and they die. Because I played this game single player.
No, honestly, he's really, really...
And I played the archer and was having a good time because, like, you just run around until everything's dead.
Yeah.
Like, you don't slow down while you're shooting.
Yeah, and so your dash gets you out of almost any problem. Yeah. So you just dash past whatever it is, just dash away.
Well, the more I played, the more... Because the elf is actually my second most played character. But the more I played, the more I found the character's niche. And I found out how to get a lot better with each one of them. But you're right, this game does feel very limited. There's only three dungeons, and there's four levels for each dungeon. I beat this game in about 5 hours on normal. And honestly, all the levels are the same. So I can go back on hard and continue to play, but it's the same levels, the same bosses. It's the same thing on a harder difficulty. And you level up your character a little bit just by doing things, like kill 3,000 skeletons, and you get like plus 5% damage to skeletons. But there's really no depth to it. And a lot of people, the community, has been crying out for like a editor, like a Steam Workshop map editor. They want more content.
It seems like it would be very easy.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Do you think that... Because Magicka didn't have any of that. Magicka had a ton of DLC, but they didn't have Steam Workshop.
But the game was so much longer.
Yeah.
And I think they did, honestly.
Well, I think that Gauntlet needs that to stay, you know, to stay valid. If this is going to be a game that people continue to play, they're going to need more content.
Yeah. Now, for the price point and how well it worked, I think it was a success. The game is a success. What was it?
We got the four pack for what?
$15 each.
$15.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I think it was totally worth that.
That's not bad. I feel like they went into this saying, okay, we know it's a small game. We're only going to charge $20 for it.
Yeah.
That makes a little more sense to me. Now, a lot of people play this with the controller. I haven't tried that yet. Did you guys mess with the controller
at all? I felt like it was lacking with the mouse and keyboard. I felt like I would have had a better time with the...
It was sitting right there. I don't know why you didn't try it.
Because I thought I had given it back to you.
No, he stole it about 3 months ago, and I haven't seen it since. Although I don't have any games to play with it, so it's fine.
Well, I know Albert played it with the controller, and he was saying that he really liked it. It felt a lot more natural. I think it's easier to aim with the controller, because a lot of times they do not make the crosshair with the keyboard and mouse very obvious. I kept losing sight of that, and I had no idea where I was shooting. With the wizard, that's very important. But yeah, I could see the controller being beneficial in that way, but I'm a mouse and keyboard kind
now,
of guy.
What keeps bringing you coming back? Why do you keep playing it?
The wizard is so much fun. I'm getting better and better, and I just pull off these amazing plays where I survive against these impossible odds because I just cast all the right spells at all the right time. I had such a good play today, I actually shadow played it. I'll have to bring that up later. But the wizard, I'm telling you, I understand why you guys are done with this game. It's because you haven't played enough of the wizard. Yeah. That is what this game is all
about.
Could
we run around as four wizards if we wanted to?
Maybe if we had a Steam Workshop and they opened this up to that. But at this point, no. I don't think you can do that.
And does this make you want to play Magicka? Because I really want to go back and play that with you guys.
Magicka is even more complicated. They give you more keys to make combinations with. And you can also, if you cast an ice spell and I cast like a water spell, then it...
Combines. Yeah, it's really
so there's
nice.
Even more complexity.
Guys, I don't know if all the people listening know what we're talking about. You kind of literally cast a spell, so it's kind of like it'll have a combination. Think of a Dragon Punch in Street Fighter. It's kind of like it has its combo. It's kind of that you do that on your keyboard. So you'll be like shift, space, space would be that spell, or space, space, shift, W would be another spell. So when he says that he's doing these spells in the right combos, not only is he doing them in the right order, but he's also typing the right things to actually cast the spell.
Yeah.
And every spell that the wizard has is circumstantial. He has a lightning shield. If you get crowded by too many skeletons, you cast your lightning shield, they bounce right off it. You can also do lightning that chains through each character to take out mobs. If you're far away, you can lob a fireball. He has crowd control ones. There's so many different things, and you find out what's good for the right situation. And you get better and better and better. There's such a high skill ceiling. When I first sat down to play this game, I immediately texted all you guys. I was like, I call wizard. I knew what this game was about.
I'm surprised you guys haven't tried to jump into Magicka Wars.
I did not. I played a little bit of that, and I did not like it. The PvP aspect just did not appeal to me at
all.
Well,
not to. I'm not even trying to do a pun here, but I'm sure you're going up against wizards at being wizards. Like, yeah. These guys are going to crush you. I'm not very good at casting all these crazy spells. Because the more powerful, the more complex they are. And rightfully so. I mean, that whole thing, they have a game that rides on one mechanic. But that mechanic is kick-ass. I fucking love it.
Yeah.
And that's why you're liking this game so much more than we are.
Yeah. You know, one thing I want to bring up, too, we've talked a lot about co-op games in the past, and I know I brought this up in previous podcasts, but communication in this game. You cannot communicate with other players at all. There's no in-game communication, voice or text, which can be very confusing when you're playing with randos because it takes a lot of coordination. You want people to focus on these towers that pop up and spawn bad guys, and sometimes people have different opinions on what needs to be taken care of first. You've got one guy off in the corner trying to kill a bunch of skeletons. You got another guy trying to take down the tower. Some other dude's in the corner just shooting up gold crates to get loot, you know.
That was me.
Yeah, and when we're all on Skype, that's one thing. But when you're just queuing up with other people...
No, it didn't help. You guys were still off doing other stuff.
Okay, yeah.
No, but I see your point.
That's an excellent point, because I feel like it has started to evolve on how communication works with, like, the VGS system and Smite and stuff like that. And now I feel like I can't go back to these. Like, we used to just manage without communication and stuff. And now that we've had communication in games, we just can't go back to it. So games like this need to have some sort of mechanic in there where you can at least point things out or call things or... Right?
But VGS, that's something from Smite. What does that stand for?
Nobody's done it.
Voice guidance system?
Yeah, what does
it? Nobody's done it better than Smite, right?
It's a voice command system. So in Smite, if you were to say...
enemies right lane.
Yeah, enemies right lane would be like VBE, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
A certain key combination, which sounds very confusing, but you...
You learn it right away.
You pick it up.
Yeah.
Voice guidance system.
Nobody's done it ever better.
Yeah. So, yeah, I felt like Gauntlet could have really benefited from this.
Oh, well, did you know the arrow keys?
Yeah, you can say thank you, like, good job, or let's press forward.
Yeah, they did it poorly. It could have been, like, attack this, and then you click, and then, like, run from that.
Well, you've got a cursor on your screen. You could use it to actually...
But people can't see pings, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You can't even ping.
I mean, the limited voice commands that they give you, those are okay, but this... would be beneficial not only in gameplay, but before the match starts. You know, if you say, hey, I'm going to wait for, like, another player to join, you know, that's helpful information, rather than people thinking, hey, this guy might be AFK. Is he going to launch this game? I don't know. No, I'm just waiting for more players. You know, things like that. Or, you know, I need to go take a piss, is probably what Emilio would say.
Right.
Rather than just standing still and you think someone disconnected. But, yeah, overall, I like the game. I understand that it's a very small game. It's very short. I see it getting very old very quickly, but I kind of liked it.
You're 100% right. You're right in that you got more depth out of it because of your character. Yeah. All the other ones are extra simplistic.
I think the warrior is kind of lost. The Valkyrie's got... This game, like, you need range. Like, it requires range, and the guys that don't have range just are lost.
Yeah.
Did you find any combos that worked well? I seem to do really well with me as a wizard and queuing up with a Valkyrie.
Maybe a Valkyrie that knew what they were doing.
Maybe a Valkyrie that actually used
Chad only did right click. That's all he did.
Yeah.
But I think we're picking a little bit too much on it. Listen, it's a $20 game. I wouldn't call them indie developers. I think they're a little beyond that now, but... You know, it's a smaller company. I think they did well. It's a good spiritual successor to the original.
I think I would have been happy with a $10 game. $15 is kind of cutting it.
No, let's call it $20.
$20, I don't think you're getting your money's worth.
I totally agree.
If you get the $15 pack, I can argue with it.
Yeah.
If it was at a $10 price point, I'd say...
I was going to bring up the exact same point. I would have said $10.
Yeah.
But I think... No, I agree. It could have been a little bit cheaper, but I think this game really needs more content, and I think we're going to see that eventually. I don't know if there's going to be DLC. I really doubt they're going to open it up and let people make their own levels and make custom maps and, you know, let you have, like, four wizards or do all sorts of crazy stuff, you know. I don't see that happening. I see a couple DLC packs, but I don't know. I'm still having fun with it now. I think I'm at about 12 hours on this game. I see myself topping off around 20. But
it's kind of like we all slept with the same girl, but she did a little bit extra for Bobby.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, no, no, she's a great girl. Like, fuck, man, she blew my socks off. And we're like, nah, she just laid there. Pretty much exactly how it went.
All right.
On that note, let's talk about a good game. Endless Legend.
Bobby, you want to get in on this?
So, Emilio picked this up. I did the family share, played 4 or 5 hours. He started playing this morning, and I was like, fuck, I want to play it. So I ended up buying it for myself.
Yeah.
So obviously, I thought it was worth the $40.
And right away, did you not think this is a $40 game?
It's very clean.
Yeah.
It's very, it seems very polished, right?
It is. I am a sucker for projection value.
Yeah.
And I am a sucker for presentation. And both, it wins hands down on both of those.
The art style is really cool. So let's explain what it is. So it's a turn-based 4X game.
Yep.
Right.
So think CivX. Civ 5.
Civ 5.
Yeah.
But it's a turn-based one. Is Civ turn-based?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which I really appreciated because most of the 4Xs that I've played are real-time you can pause, and it's just, I like the turns a lot better.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to, like, you don't have to stress. Like, you can put your time in, determine what you want to do, and go from there.
Right, for sure.
And so you start off...
You stress anyway.
Yeah.
I do anyway.
You do. It's a made-up world. The whole map is hexagonal, but the art style is really cool because it's hexagonal, but they don't make it seem obviously hexagonal.
Yep.
So I really like the art style, and it's really cool because you scroll in and out with the mouse wheel, but as you scroll out, it'll go from, like, you've seen the trees and the art, and when you scroll out a little further,
all the way to a map view,
and then the map, it kind of, like, fades in, out into a map view, and then if you scroll out even further, it shows you, like, even less detail, so you can dynamically go in and out to see the detail that you need to see. So I'd like to pull it all the way back when I'm dealing with the cities and then zoom it in when I'm dealing with my
individual armies. Right. So I only played the tutorial, but maybe I was hungover this morning, but the music and the setting, it was just all pleasant.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't have any issues.
Except your tutorial.
Yeah, the tutorial kind of screwed up a little bit.
Didn't happen to me, so I don't know.
Yeah. The colors are nice. It looks great. The edges, the detail is great. I really like the graphics. And I've been playing so many of these games, like a Wasteland 2, where it's kind of like,
monotone and all.
Yeah, like, you know, and it seems to be a theme of this, like, low res 8, going back, or it's almost like we're regressing. So many games are going back to 8-bit. It's nice to see something. Now, it's not going to blow your socks off. It's not Crysis 3 or anything. Yeah. But it's very nice. Appealing to the eyes, appealing to the ears. And when you're playing a game that this complex and has so many tiers, you can mouse over whatever you want and see what that is. Now, it seems like a very natural thing. Oh, yeah, all games have that. But so you could go to the minimap, and it will tell you what the minimap does. But the minimap has 7 things on it. And if you go over any one of those 7 things, it tells you what those 7 things do. Other games, no. It'll tell you what the minimap does, not those 7 things. And it's really good at doing that.
Yeah.
So, Chad, you played a lot more than me.
Yeah, I did.
How's the game?
It's difficult. So the first time I went, I played the default settings, which is kind of a random... There's a bunch of different settings you can determine when you create a game. Like, what style map it is. Is it either Pangea, meaning, like, it's basically a round circle. Or is it chaotic, where there's islands and rivers and stuff, or it's random.
Okay.
So, I started with the default one. 6 players, normal difficulty is like, the default.
Did you start in the middle, or off to the side, or...?
I didn't even get that far, because I started doing my basic things. Army came, killed my one army that I had, and that basically, that was basically
bent you over.
Yeah, so eventually I got down to 4 ones on the easy setting, and I'm finally starting to. So just today I I beat it for the first time. It took me 115 turns or so.
Wait, you beat what? You beat the whole map?
I beat the level that I created.
Oh, cool. Versus how many? Sorry.
It was four people okay. on easy. So it was, there was three other opponents.
Gotcha. That's the only way to win in this game? To
No, there's a bunch of different ways. So you start with... They have like six or seven different... what would they... I would like to say tribes, but they're not... They're different races.
Factions.
Factions. But they're actually different races. And these races, one of the things I really like about this game is the race that you pick really determines your style of play. Each of them have kind of a different style they like to go with.
Can you give us like two?
Sure. So one of them is a warmonger. They beat from through beating your opponent.
Like Klingons or something.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. But that one can't use food. They are like a dust. Their dust. Dust is their.
Dust gold. Is money.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're a dust-based group, so okay. you can build guys using your dust. So everything is built around the gold in this game for those guys. So they're based.
Quick
on
question
domination.
Though, like how do they survive out without food? Are they like
they feed off the dust? They eat.
Oh,
the
they
dust.
Eat dust. Yeah. Oh, that's
so
awesome.
The more dust you make. You can just make guys by spending dust.
Does that also mean that you don't have to go down the food production tree
yeah,
at all?
At all. It's not even
I like that a lot.
So that's one of them. Then there's an old like dragonkin sort of race uh-huh. that goes through diplomacy. So they're kind of win condition. They get bonuses to like peace treaties and stuff like that. They right. start with that all in place. So you're supposed to win that way by... creating peace treaties and winning through alliances.
But interesting. So I don't expect you to know the answer to this, but if you're playing that draconian race and you go against, and you're playing online, nobody's going to go peace treaty with you. You know, they're going to want to crush you.
You can force peace treaties with this race.
You can force a peace treaty? Yeah. That doesn't sound right.
Yeah. I think this is one of the reasons why, because...
I'm going to hit you until you stop hitting people.
Yeah. Yeah. You can, I tried playing these guys, and I wasn't able to get
it. It sounds like that's an upper tier yeah. type thing, if it even works.
So their first race is kind of, I forget what they're called, wild, something wild. And they win through exploration, I believe.
Okay.
So, but I ended up just winning through domination.
Okay.
So you, even though they have a starting way that they can win,
right.
you don't have to win that way. You could take the warmongers and win through peace treaties if you want.
Cool.
So you can kind of set it up how you want.
So depending on what tribe you choose to play as, that determines your path to victory.
No.
Not necessarily.
What it does is, so also in this game are quests. So if you can run and find a relic spot, and a relic spot can sometimes give you quests, or if you want to subdue a minor faction, they'll give you quests that say, hey, if you want to pacify us, this is how you do it. So there's quests that you're running around and trying to accomplish, and they could be all sorts of things like give them 100 dust, or it could be all sorts of different things.
Okay.
But they have story quests, or the main quest, and it's steering you towards your eventually goal of however you win. So if you follow the story quests, you will eventually complete the game in the manner that this tribe wants you to.
But not PvP. There's no story PvP, right?
Well, it'll still do it. So, for example,
you have quests during PvP.
Yeah.
Wow.
It'll give you bonuses. It'll give you, dust or whatever.
Yeah. So resources, just like all these games, resources win the games. So if you're getting resources by doing things for your faction, you're going to probably win.
Well, it will certainly help.
Or help. I mean, interesting. Yeah.
The other thing that was really cool about this game, so it lets you gear up your guys, which is probably a fairly common thing now.
Your troops?
Your troops. And so you could get for a quest completion, you can get like a special item that you can now equip onto your troops and stuff like that. So I thought it was kind of cool how you could do that, but then their tech trees are really cool. I like how it's implemented. So they've got these seven big rings, right?
Think of what was that robot crafting game, RoboCraft,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. so you can build into the different trees.
Right, but as soon as you have enough hexagons, you can go to the next one and start from the center again.
And so, yeah, there's seven of them. Yeah, and each represent an age. So the first age is like the Stone Age or whatever, and you're just doing basic stuff. And if you get enough of those tech trees going up, you go into like the Iron Age, and then the next one could be like the Industrial Age. So it's kind of cool how they kind of build up, and you have to research enough of them to go to the next age. And one of the factions, you win through technology. You can actually win if you... I don't know how you actually win, but one of them win through science, through technology. So
that's how, like, a Civ 5 is kind of like that. You can win, like, six different ways or whatever. But I really like this whole thing of, you know, they're different. There's different play styles. I think in Civ 5, if you play as America or France, it's the same, right, Bobby?
Some of them are. It's been a long time since I played Civ 5. And I remember with some of the DLC that they brought in, it really changed with some new factions. You could, some of them were, had a little bit different play styles, but no, they're all generally the same.
Now, Civ 5 is one of the
ones. As far
as
like how you win.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, Civ 5 is one of these games that you look up and the sun is coming up for you, right?
Oh, yeah. You can kill a whole night on Civ 5.
You're going to get lost. You're going to love this game.
Yeah.
It looks a lot like Civ 5.
In my opinion, it's way better than Civ 5.
Really?
Yeah.
So, the game that I won that took 115 turns probably took me about 3 hours, I think.
Okay.
Or so. And so that's...
Was it super satisfying when you won? Were you pretty happy with
it? It was, but it snowballed.
Yeah, you knew you were going to win at a certain point.
It was like touch and go there for the middle part.
Yeah.
Like once I started to roll, it was like everything was rolling downhill.
Right.
But that was like easy setting.
Gotcha.
So... now I got to try normal. I got to try with six different ones. I got to try different win conditions.
Find your faction.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Who did you win with? The Explorer ones.
The wild. I forget what they're called. The wild something.
Yeah, I can't wait to sink my teeth into
it. What I hope that they do, since each of these factions or whatever these races play differently, I hope for DLC that they come up with more of these races.
Well, did you see the Founders Pack?
I did, but it doesn't.
It comes with another race or another faction.
It comes with another minor faction.
Weird.
Yeah. So the minor factions are... The way the map is kind of set up is these hexagons are arranged in kind of states, I guess, or territories. And so when you take over a territory, you can only put one city in that territory. And then when you put that city in, you claim that territory and everything in it. But in there are little villages that you have to go and talk to, and you can either just destroy them and rebuild it, or you can try to pacify them through doing their
plan. Or assimilate.
Yeah, but there's only two ways that I know to do it. You either just kill them and rebuild,
or
do their quests.
Oh, okay.
That is required. Hmm. But these little minor, they're called the minor factions, they can be all sorts of different races also, and they have their own play, they've got their own troops, they've got their own way that they communicate and everything like that. You get faction bonuses and stuff depending on which one you use.
It's a very, very well done game.
Yeah. Who's the developer of this?
I'm going to go ahead and give this the DL.
Yeah. There you go. Give the DL. Who the Wild Walkers, that's what it was.
Yeah, that was the faction.
That's the faction.
Who made this game, guys? Guys, in case you didn't wonder, our producer has many, many, many names. It's like, okay, LB, Albert, Berto, Geyser. So we'll call them all
MXC,
of these things.
MXC, what's his?
Yeah.
MX.
Poon Crusher, some people call him.
Amplitude Studios, that's what it is.
Amplitude. Never heard of them.
Yeah, I don't know if they've done anything else or if this is the first one, but...
I could kind of tell that it was a foreign game from just the way that things were worded.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But
I think they knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, me too.
Let's talk complaints real quick.
Yeah.
Can I talk complaints? First of all, the title Endless Legend, I think, is a terrible, terrible name.
I think it works in their language. I think it's dope in their language.
Because I was thinking about this. Is there anything that you want endlessly? Like, even if you orgasm endlessly, like, that's not going to fun.
First of all, I do. And,
Bob's shaking his head.
Yeah, that's all he ever does.
Yeah. But I'm just saying...
Oh, gosh. You guys are talking about sex. Oh, gosh.
Endless Legend. not a fan of the name. What did you have any issues while you were playing?
During my tutorial, I did a step before I was supposed to do it, like several steps before. And when that step came up, I still had the quest to do that step. So I kind of got stuck. So I don't know what to do. Because it says, I'm not going to get into it. I'll figure it out when I get home. Or I'll start it over. Because, like I said, it was super pleasant. I enjoyed the
tutorial. Was actually good.
Ah, this is like, nice.
That was my
step
word.
By step.
Yeah, step by
this
step.
This is what this means. This is what this means. If you get, because it's deep.
Yeah,
right?
It is deep.
Yeah.
There's a lot. There's a high learning curve. There's just quite a bit to learn.
Yeah.
But it's not a typical 4X game. You know, there's just a lot of like things.
But it's not like, hey, here's this entirely new thing you've never heard of. But this is just the way we do this part. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is our interpretation of resource management.
Yeah.
This seems to be a very popular game. A lot of people on my Steam's friends list have been playing this game. I'm not really familiar with the reviews. Do you know what it's getting on Metacritic or anything?
It's doing well. I think the last thing I checked, I think, was 80. I want to say 80 or so. But see, God, it's so crazy that this gets 80.
81.
Yeah, and Gauntlet gets 80.
Users are rating it much higher than the Metacritic.
I mean, five points more.
Yeah,
but you know, look at all those tens, man. People really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I don't know how much to rely on Metacritic though. I tend to go off of the Steam reviews, but they kind of changed how they do that. We'll talk about that a little bit more coming up in news. But
cool. Let's get into what we're playing.
No, we got Whistleblower. You want to talk Whistleblower?
Yeah, that's what I've been playing. So yeah this is officially the what we've been playing segment. I bought Outlast Whistleblower, and the next day it went on sale.
Oh.
So that was awesome.
Woo!
I want my $6 back. But it's great, man. This game
is unfortunate.
$6, I can let it go. I'll be all right. This game
I'll be upset for you.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm over here, sitting here, upset.
$6. There's a lot you can get for $6. I can't just be throwing money around, you know.
It's true. Except you do.
Except I do. But this game really rounds out the first one. The first one left off on a cliffhanger, had a bit of a twist at the end, didn't feel like the ending. This one completes the package. It is exactly the same as the first game when it comes to gameplay mechanics.
So
there is a camera, yes.
Okay.
There's, I thought that was kind of
a whistleblower might do that. Like, let me get evidence so I can prove to people.
Well, why would he call you then instead of sending you the tape?
Well, at the very beginning of Outlast, he sends you an email. He sends emails out to all these journalists, says, hey, some bad shit is going down at this place. You need to come check it out. And then he gets caught sending that email out. And then they force him to become a test subject in their evil experiments. And
Superpowers?
No. You do have hallucinations in this, though. But this game actually takes place before, during, and after the original Outlast.
Oh,
you actually see the original Outlast character running around in different parts of around. You revisit certain areas and you see like, oh, there's me from the last game running by. So that was kind of cool. But the mechanics are exactly the same. You're peeking around corners. I did know this time that you can look behind you when you run, and it is completely useless. It's great for people watching you. Like, cinematically, it's great. Like, you look behind you, and it's like, oh, that guy's chasing me. That's cool. But you end up just running right into a wall. So, completely useless.
Are there not scary guys? This looks more like clinical.
Clinical, yeah.
It starts off that
way.
Probably
just fired, though.
Yeah, because this part that you're watching right now is before... See, he's going to walk in.
This is Black Mesa before the shit goes
crazy. He walks in right now, and this guy says, aha, we caught you. We know you've been sending emails and ratting us out. And then they send you in and make you become a test subject. And then when you come to and wake up, the shit has hit the fan. And so it's happens, that is during the first Outlast game. But, dude, first of all, this game's only about 2.5-3 hours.
Okay.
Very short.
Well, the first one wasn't that long either, right?
Yeah, it was about 5 hours. Yeah. But they step up the gore big time in this one, dude.
What about the overall scariness? About the same?
The scariness was about the same. There seemed like there were more jump scares. There was more gore.
Is this better than the original?
I don't know. It's so similar to the original. It feels like an extension of the game.
I almost got him to say something positive. Yeah. Almost.
No, I am saying this is a great DLC. You cannot play Outlast without playing Whistleblower. You have got to, if you've played Outlast and you haven't played Whistleblower yet, you have got to play it because it completes the story.
Unless you hated Outlast.
No, even if you hate it, you still got to finish it. Because I finished Outlast, I'm like, that was good, but I felt like there was no closure. I felt like there was still...
It's kind of like
video game blue balls.
It's kind of like Kill Bill. Kill Bill 1 sucked until I saw Kill Bill 2, and it wrapped everything together, and it was like, oh, that all makes sense now.
That was one movie that he was forced to cut in half.
Sure, or we'll make way more money if we cut it.
Yeah, but Outlast wasn't bad. I didn't beat Outlast and say, oh, that sucked. I said, they didn't explain everything, and then Whistleblower came along and did.
Yeah, I said
how
that
much,
wrong.
How much was the DLC, by the way? How much was it?
Well, it was on sale for $3, but I, like a sucker, paid $9 for it.
Ooh. Oof. $6, man. That could have went a lot.
$6 when you're talking about, like, that's 66% of the price. Yeah.
And TJ, you could get full and get a buzz for $6.
Yeah. Or a 10-minute hand job.
Oh, they throw that in for free. But when I say they stepped up the gore, you can see some of that now here if you're watching. But let me explain some of the things that I witnessed. I sent you guys the screenshot of the guy who was lifting weights and he came down. That was awesome. Yeah. But here's some things that I saw. There was a guy jerking off on dead bodies. There was a...
Totally normal.
Yeah, nothing wrong there.
Yeah,
I'm doing that right after this.
Yeah.
There was a guy... taking an ice pick and shoving up like other dudes like taints and trying to turn them into
taints.
Women.
Yeah. Oh, holy shit. Yeah.
He was trying to turn them into women so he could have sex with them.
Wow.
And then he straps you to a table with a buzzsaw. I'm kind of spoiling some of this. There is male nudity in this like there was in Outlast. But he straps you naked to this table and has a buzzsaw that's going to come and like saw you in half basically. Starting at your crotch and moving up. So yeah, they did not pull any punches. Ooh. Like they just went over the top with just the gore and the gruesome. And there's also some dude who's obsessed with drinking blood out of people's chests. He chases you around for about the first half of this. But yeah, but let me explain one thing. There's not a whole lot that I can say about this that I haven't already said about the original Outlast, but I played the last hour or two of this on Twitch, and there were a couple people watching me, and I was talking to them while this was going on. Completely changed the experience. Not scared at all.
Yeah,
did not get caught up.
You got people with you.
Yeah. I still kind of jumped at a few parts, but it just completely changed the experience.
Yeah. I've always said, like, if I was abducted by aliens or, like, I would be fucking so scared or something. But if I had one person with me, let's take this shit over. Let's just beat them up. They're skinny. Let's fuck them up.
It was fun. I'll give it that. Like, it was fun playing it on Twitch and talking to everybody. But at the same time, I feel like the game lost a lot of its impact that way. But yeah, that's really all I wanted to note on that game.
Guys, I know that his voice didn't change very much. I want to tell you that Bobby's fired up. He really likes this because he's like moving his hands and shit. This is the most I've seen him move in a while.
Yeah.
It's good. Good stuff.
Well, I will never play this game, but I'm glad
I can't. I mean, we will for our video.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Chad. Oh, we already went through what you're playing.
Yeah, that's what I play. I played some Destiny this week, but nothing new to report.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so Battle Nations, guys, as soon as I just said that, just get rid of it. It's fucking, like, erase it from your mind. I downloaded it because it was free to play. It looked like maybe like a little thing that I could pick up that looked fun. I was they got the licensing from Valve, so they're using the Heavy and the Scout images. You know, it's just like drawings of them.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, oh, okay. Let me see. You know, at some point, Valve endorsed this at least a little bit. So I picked it up. It was fucking dog shit. It's really, really, really bad. And
what kind of game is it?
It's a strategy kind of ish game where there's base building, but then there's also a...
It looks like a mobile game, like a Clash of Clans.
Yeah, pretty much like that. But then when you fight, it's kind of like a tower defense versus each other kind of thing. But it's not, I'm making it sound cool. What I just said sounded cool.
Yeah.
This game is not cool. Okay, the game's really bad. I'm not going to get into why. It's a money grab. Basically, if you want to do something good, you have to wait 10 minutes or pay $1. That kind of stuff, you know?
Wow, terrible. So straight up like Farmville.
Yeah, terrible shit. But what I want to get into is why did Valve give them the licensing to this? Did they pay for this? Is it because we're on Steam, we can access your characters?
How does this work? Valve is very liberal with their properties. There was another game they did this with as well, Hero Academy. I mean, that game wasn't half bad, but it wasn't like super great. But Valve seems to just toss their shit out there to anybody who wants it. I mean, that's kind of their stance on things.
They must charge, though. Do you think they charge for that? To use the likeness of the characters? It comes with value. Awesome. I downloaded it solely because of that.
Yeah. Well, like Peggle Extreme, we were talking about that last week. I think Valve just says, all our stuff is out there. Do what you want with it. I mean, sure, they may make a little money, but I don't think they're really making...
They're going to make money anyways. It's on Steam.
Yeah.
But they're not cutting anybody off saying, like, there's no quality control here saying, like, it has to be this good for us to approve it.
So anyway, stay away from that. Also, I've been Skyrim modding lately. The video is done, pretty much. I just have to make an intro. It will be up this week. I've been talking about it for a month, but there it is. One of the mods... I'm going to talk about a couple of mods that stood out. There's one called Familiar Faces, which is fucking... What a great concept. Especially this couple last months, it's almost like it's 2012 again. People are modding... There's so many more mods. Like I said, it's like 2012. It's almost like the game's brand new. New mods are just flooding the thing. And this came out like 6 months ago. But anyway, it's called Familiar Faces. Basically, what you could do, you go into this kind of like room where it's where Superman goes, like the Fortress of Solitude kind of thing. Okay. It's a very nice, like, there's a fountain in the middle, and you can look around and you can see your other characters, your other save files. And you go up to them and activate them, and they'll be a follower for you. They'll follow you around the game. So, like, I'm totally going to do this because right now I'm playing an orc, like two-handed weapon, heavy armored dude. And my other guy's an archer. So I'm going to grab him and he's just going to do damage while I'm up in the mix. And I'm going to tell him to do that. And, you know, once you have a follower, you can tell him how you want them to fight. But so sick that, like, right now I forget what I named them, but I'm going to have my other character Ender behind me, like, man, I'm in love with this mod. It's great. And it works. It's not broken. Like, there's no problems with it. It just works, you know? Another one was Tame the Animals of Skyrim. And they kind of got, let's say, the hunter from WoW mechanics mixed with Pokemon. So you could just go up to any character. Okay, so you need to level up your taming abilities. And it goes up with your levels. And you can go up to like a level 1 rabbit or whatever at level 1 and tame it. And it'll become your thing. And you got to make sure you feed it so that it fights well and stuff. And it'll gain experience based on how much damage it does in each fight. But then you can get another one and do the same thing with another rabbit and breed them. And it'll have the combined skills of both of them. But you cannot breed that one. So you make, let's say you make a super rabbit, you can't have a super, super rabbit. So then you move on to deer or whatever the next thing is, whatever you, and so I love this kind of shit, like pets and fucking turrets, any of that kind of shit. That's right up my alley. Now, I'm not going to play this into the game that I'm playing. The mod author recommends that you have a playthrough that you play as an animal tamer, and you put it on easy because, you know, they're not overpowered, they're underpowered actually. And you just have a good time doing that. Like, and I'm also thinking of like what kind of class I want to play with this. Maybe a healer so I could heal the pet and stuff. But then there's also a druid mod. So I was like, oh, that'll work perfect. So I'm going to go download the druid class and play like a whole playthrough. Or, let's be honest, I don't have this kind of time. A few, like 10 hours of like somebody that he's an animal tamer and a druid. I'm like, God, I'm such a dork. I love this shit, though.
You are.
Yeah. Just think, fucking this game is 3 years old and new shit's coming out all day, every day.
So he modded, right? He was in there modding for like 2 weeks or whatever. He's like, oh, here, come check this out, Chad. Come here, check this out. I'm walking in here expecting like stars to be going off in, on the screen. Just like brilliance. And I walk in there. I was like, yeah, okay, it looks all right.
Like, name a game that looks better right now on your PC or my PC.
I'm sure.
Name
one
a game.
One
please.
Of the Crysises would look
but
better.
But we're not playing those games. So there you go.
Are
you a Legend? Legend?
You just
no.
You just spent
just looks better than that.
10 hours modding it, and it for what?
And I turned the game that looks like a 3-year-old game into a game that looks better than modern games.
Sounds like a little justification there. If I can do an Emilio analogy, it's like you got this old girlfriend and you try to polish her up a bit, you know, rather than go out there and get yourself a new one.
Terrible
That's
analogy.
What's going on.
Terrible analogy.
No, it's cool that it's staying up to date and all, but we're talking about a game that's 3 years old. So it's like,
what's up with
old.
The Skyrim 6? Is that ever going to happen? Or Elder Scrolls 6, I guess?
No, because they have to do, they bounce back and forth between,
Neverwinter Nights?
No.
Is it?
What is it? The one that's in the future, post-apocalyptic.
Fallout.
They bounce between Fallout and... So the next one out is going to be a Fallout. Fallout 4. And then they'll go back to the Elder Scrolls. Okay. They go back and forth.
Because that seems like a long time to go without a sequel. And this game is super popular, you know?
Yeah.
Still popular.
They're working on the Fallout. The other thing that I've been playing is Wasteland 2. I told you guys I liked it. I haven't put a ton of time into it. All I can say is this game is fucking brutal. I'm playing on normal. And there's two difficulty levels above it. And I'm having a really hard time. There was a point that out of the five characters that I had, three of them were at one hit point, and actually Geyser was at like 25% hit points. So I just fucking go try to do something. Like, I don't know what to do anymore. He got lucky because I put his luck all the way to the top, and he just dodged a bunch of, and we got through it somehow, and now we're doing okay. But I think it's my group makeup. But because it's us, I want to keep pushing it. And I really like this game. It's got the custom ability, but it also has the strategy. I don't know. It has everything. It has everything I could possibly want, except for maybe action.
There's something about tactical turn-based games that is so addictive, and I can't really explain what that is. I'd have to put a little more thought into it. But, like, XCOM, couldn't put it down. Shadowrun, or not Dragonfall, but Shadowrun Returns, couldn't put it down. Just that type of game is super, super addictive.
So you've got limited time, Amino.
Probably the most.
You got this game, and you got Endless Legend. Which one are you playing this week, next week?
Both. If I had to choose,
yeah,
Wasteland, because I want to get.
I guess
it.
The question I have is, if somebody has limited budget and are looking between these two games, which one would you recommend?
I can't say yet on Endless Legend, but for me right now, Wasteland, because there's a story that I want to progress through. Endless Legend, there's no real story, so that's the only reason, though.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. Cool. Now, I'm going to get into this next week, but I just want to mention it right now. I started playing Neverending Nightmares, continuing with my scary games. I'm really liking it. This is a game that came out on the 26th, and I had been waiting for it. And the art style initially drew me to this. It looks great. I'm
original.
Actually not...
Kind of looks like...
Where the Wild Things Are.
Yeah,
it's like pencil-shaded. But I'm going to leave it at that. I'm not even going to get into it. I'm going to save it for next week. But
okay.
look forward to that. So are we ready to move into news? Or is it
sure.
Quick note. You were talking about the increased difficulty levels. When you were talking about Wasteland 2.
Oh, yeah.
I did a look into Endless Legend because they've got an achievement for each of their difficulty levels.
Okay.
So I was having problems on normal, so I did easy. So they got, like, after normal, they've got, like, hard, challenging, something else, then impossible, and then finally endless difficulty.
Jeez.
So, like, you got to be an all-star if you want to get some
of
this
stuff. Yeah,
like,
sure.
I don't know what you're doing, but...
You start on Endless, and it's just like 10 dragons, and yeah. You have like a wooden shield.
You're just getting double teamed by two dragons when you start the game on.
You start the game being spit fired.
Yeah. I don't know. Something. All right. So, should we get into some news?
Yeah. Which one do we want to start with here?
Let's go with Steam because we're big Steam fanboys.
Yeah, that's going to be a big part of this. So a big update for Steam, graphically and a little bit on the way it works as well. A few things have changed with it. Right off the bat, you'll notice they've kind of got a blue tone to it, and they've personalized the storefront.
Yeah, that's my biggest complaint, and I'm complaining about something good. It's great. I mean, they're only showing me games that I'm going to win. I mean, I'm going to want to play, but it's too much. I used to click through all the stuff that the 10 games that they show. Okay, this is what they're showing. Now it's like every click, I'm like, what's this? Oh, what's this? And here's the worst part. You click on to see what it is. You check it out. You come back. It's a whole new 10 fucking games. I could sit there for fucking hours. And they... Apparently, I'm a very easy math problem to solve because...
Well, you like everything.
Yeah. Yeah, but of the things that I like, they've got the pinnacle all locked down. Like, it's like everything's like multiplayer with turrets and minions. And I'm like, oh no. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. So they've really customized it to focus on your personal spending habits. They know what kind of games you like. They put those on the front page.
Yeah, it's really funny because right now it's showing us what guys are like, and everything's about big guys with muscles.
Yeah,
it's really interesting.
Half-naked dudes.
Yeah. What, cock wars? Wow.
I wonder how the publishers and developers are taking this Steam update. Because this could theoretically
hurt certain ones. If you're making things that people don't like, then that's your problem. Yeah. I think it's going to promote sales because already I'm thinking about buying things that I would have never thought of otherwise. Because it'll drag up old shit. It used to be only new shit. And yeah, this is great.
So Sins of Solar Empire Rebellion was on sale for $10. Have you played that one yet, Bobby?
I picked it up. I hated it.
You hate it.
I own it right now, but you might like it. But Endless Legend is the same thing, and it's done so much better.
Yeah, I probably would have bought it if Endless Legend hadn't come out.
Yeah,
and I hadn't.
And the reviews are crazy. It's like 90 something on those games. For
a 4X game, it's Sins of a Solar Empire is like one of the top ones that. As far as space ones are concerned.
Maybe it's me, but it was too complex or something. I was like, I'm not going to put it
in. The other thing is, if you pre-order After Earth, is that what this next sim was?
Beyond
Earth?
Beyond Earth.
After Earth was that movie with Will Smith's kid.
That was
Will
a terrible Smith. Movie.
Well. Beyond Earth. So if you pre-order, or you get the pre-order pack or whatever... That'll give you all the Civ 3, 4, and 5?
Yeah, is that down the line.
Is that something you'd recommend?
You're never going to play those old Civ games. Civ 5 is the only one worth playing out of all that. So I don't know if it's really worth it.
Yeah, it's not like a movie where you need to watch 1, 2, and 3. Like, 3 is the pinnacle of... It has all those other things. Think of the sequels as... revisions of part one. It's just better and better versions of the old one.
Yeah.
And so, there's no overarching story.
If you're a collector, you might want to pick it up, but if you're not going to sit down and play all those.
No.
So Civ 5 is the one that...
It's the pinnacle. Yeah. It's the best they can do. Yeah. But, again, and the Endless Legend. Sorry.
Yeah.
It just kind of trumps everything right now for me.
Yeah.
Personally.
Okay.
Now, about the Steam update, I got to say, I like the aesthetic. I like what they've done here. It's very simple. Everything's very squared off. Things are kind of taking that look these days. Like, even YouTube kind of went to that more simpler kind of look. Mm-hmm. I like it. I like the way it looks. I like how they've redone a few things. Like, if you go to another page and you hit the back button, you don't have to scroll through all the other lists. They've made a few minor updates in that way.
I think they kind of copied our new website designer. To be honest.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get to that in a sec. But they actually, they've incorporated some things into it now that was in Enhanced Steam, which was an add-on for Firefox and Google Chrome that I used. One thing that they've done is they've redid the... Well, you can cut out games that you already own. You can check a box and say, don't show me games I already own on the store page. I don't want to see them.
They didn't do that already?
They didn't do that before. You can see them, and it's got a little tag that says, oh, this is in your library.
Well, Steam doesn't have any games you don't own, so what are they showing you? Just like...
Yeah, it's just not like an empty box with a little cobweb in one corner.
Yeah, it's useful if you're a game collector like me. But on the actual store page for the game, they've collected all the reviews, and they give you a general idea at the very top of the page of what the reception was. So it will say the reviews for this game were very positive, or they were somewhat mixed. It'll kind of summarize it. It'll tell you how many reviews and how many of those were thumbs up. So I think that's kind of good. It kind of takes all the Steam reviews and then says, here's the bottom line.
It aggregates it. Is that what you're saying?
As opposed to how to do it before.
It used to give you a percentage. 90% positive.
Enhanced Steam used to do that.
Okay.
The actual Steam client didn't do any of that. You had to scroll all the way down and just kind of see what the last 10 reviews were. Oh, some of them were thumbs up, 5 were thumbs down. You kind of guessed, but Steam actually counts them all up for you. Says, like in Gauntlet, there was about 1,300 reviews and 78% of them were thumbs
positive.
Up.
Yeah. So you're saying that you like that more than Metacritic. You would put more faith in that.
Yeah, because that's the actual players of the game.
Yeah.
You know, these are people who actually play the games, people like you and me. This is not like a journalist or something.
Nobody's like you and me, buddy.
Yeah, one of a kind here.
Yeah, special.
So, yeah, I like that part of it. Also, I guess we'll talk about the curators. Let me read something.
Yeah, what is going on there?
We're curators. Shh. We know.
We're working on it.
Okay, super cool.
Let me read this to best explain it. Steam curators are individuals...
That's us.
Individuals, organizations, and groups that publish reviews and recommend it in a public forum on Steam. So if you go to a store page, you can follow these curators. If you go to a store page, it'll say, hey, this game is recommended by these following curators. Of course, the big ones are PC Gamer, Jim Sterling from The Escapist, Rock, Paper, Shotgun, Kotaku, you know, all these big groups.
We're right under those. Yeah. The ones he just named, we're the next one down.
We're up there.
14th, right there.
Yeah. So what they're trying to go for here is people being curators for certain types of games. Like if someone's like, hey, I'm really into twin stick shooters, you can follow them and they'll let you know, hey, here's a great twin stick shooter, or here's a great survival crafting game. I think they're trying to categorize games in that way. It's just another social aspect.
Now, Bobby, can you get into the... what is the music player? What the fuck is it?
There's really not too much to be said about it. It's basically a music player. If you click on library, or actually hover over library, you know you have games, applications, and now you have music.
Okay.
And if you go to music, it'll show you. You can tell it to scan directories on your computer so you can play your own personal MP3s. But it will automatically load any soundtracks of games that you have in your Steam library. So for me, I have like all the Half-Life soundtracks, Deponia,
Endless Legend. Yep, got your soundtrack.
It's really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, if Endless Legend has a soundtrack, it'll show up in there.
Dude, I am so going to work out to the Skyrim music now. With all those fucking Vikings yelling at me. Oh my God. I'm going to lift so much heavier now.
I don't know if the Steam music player, for me, it's not really a plus. I'm never going to use it.
It's neutral, but it might be a plus. It can't be a negative for anybody.
Well,
really enjoy this.
I'm wondering if they're looking to eventually hook it into games, and you can set your music tracks, and then games will play your music in their game.
Oh, yeah, I see what
you're
saying.
Like Xbox has that thing where you can basically play your music.
Right.
I'm wondering if they're looking.
And I wonder if this works on the mobile app where, like, I want to hear some fucking Barbie Dreamhouse 2 background, and you just put in your earbuds and maybe.
Yeah.
It's possible. I mean, as of right now, it's basically just Steam's version of Winamp. There's really not a whole lot to it. It's just another way.
That's an old reference.
Yeah.
We're going back. Hey, dude, still the best
for your
music
kids
player
out there. Winamp was a program that.
I'm still rocking Winamp 2.0.
I know, I saw that.
Yeah, But remember, that's really all it is.
Remember in like 97 or 98 when Winamp skins were all the big rage and you had everybody had the cool looking
the skins?
Winamp skin.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that was fun.
So are we done with the Steam update?
Let's see. Yes.
All right, so next up, this is pretty big fucking news. Yeah. A lot of money was lost on this one. Titan, which is the code name for Blizzard's next MMO, was canceled after 7 or 8 years in production. This is real. I mean, for me, I'm like, wow, they really fucking did it. Now, you're shaking your head, Chad. Are you saying, like, this is a bad move? Because after reading what the president said, I think that it's a good move. He's right. What are your initial response, and what do you think now?
I was really looking forward to this game. Like, I love WoW. I thought Blizzard did really well the first time. I wanted to see what they could have taken the next one. A new genre, a new style.
Did you hear the concept?
Wasn't it supposed to be like a present day?
Yeah, so basically, it was going to be kind of The Incredibles-ish. So, and that art style, like TF2 art style. And you have your day life where you do mundane things, and then at night everybody goes out and goes and do battle with evil, and so I guess you're kind of like a superhero or so. So it's this whole duality thing where you do something during the day. I think that's when you do your crafting and shit like that, and then at night that's when all the combat happens. It doesn't sound great, but anyway, apparently the president played it and he said, "I just didn't find the fun." And so that's one big thing. Okay, cool. You know, maybe you could have injected fun. But the other thing was, he said, and this is the most poignant thing, and I totally agree with him. This is why he makes the big bucks, and I don't. He was like, the landscape is changing too quickly for a game as big as WoW to come out these days. It's all about Hearthstone-esque games. You know, things that are cheap, super popular, easy to pick up, and that's where things are headed. And I couldn't agree with him more.
I think that's kind of a sad state of affairs. It's like that developers won't make another WoW because the landscape is such. I think there is, since gaming is so big, there's room for those giant, slow moving sort of games that people can really latch onto. I think the problem is everybody tries to make one and they all fail, so people think it's not going to work. But obviously Blizzard has proved that it can work.
Well, at the same time, if he had played it and been like, whoa, this is fucking awesome, even though the landscape doesn't, then we'll push forward because I'm really having a good time with this. But it was it was coupled with the landscape and the game wasn't what they wanted.
Yeah.
But it does sound kind of cool.
Look at the track record for MMOs, though. When's the last super successful MMO? The only thing that even has come close is the Star Wars one.
Yeah, and I wouldn't call it super successful, but I'm not.
Moderate success. Yeah. WoW was a moment in history. You know, it just happened, and it took everybody by storm, and it was this amazing thing, and now that is, like, behind us. And all these MMOs that are going to come out after it are just not going to do that again. Things are different now. You know, people have seen that before. They've done it, and we've moved on to different things.
I'm kind of sad about it, honestly.
Yeah.
The MMO genre, like the whole wave of MMOs.
Well, I mean, if you listen so much, why aren't we playing them? I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I do. That's what I do play.
Yeah, you
I have
do
a
play
subscription
a lot of MMOs.
To Eve. I've got a subscription to WoW right now. I was trying to play Archeage.
And don't play it. He doesn't play any of his bills, folks, but he pays a bunch of subscription fees for games he doesn't play.
Well, like, I appreciate a game that I can, my progress tracks continuously, and I feel like there's a sense of accomplishment.
That's
there.
Always been my argument for MMOs. It's like, imagine it's like a movie, but it gets a little tiny bit better every time you play.
Yeah.
That's what it is, right?
Yeah.
Every time you watch it, sorry.
I hope they come back to this. There is room in this landscape of gaming for a big MMO.
The world, this is going to sound verbose or whatever, but the world needs a WoW. Like, there needs to be the game.
Yeah.
And apparently it's just going to continue to be WoW. Because nobody's going to try to, like... MMOs come out, but nothing's going to really trump WoW unless WoW trumps WoW. But they shut it down, so... It's really interesting. I don't know where they're going to go from it. They're obviously making money hands over fist. So.
I mean, they're down, though. They're down to, like, 8 million or 9 million subscribers now. From,
yeah, but still.
From, like, 12
think
million.
Think about how
from
much
like
money
million.
That is still.
Yeah. Still, like, 3 or 4 times more than Star Wars ever had, I think.
But yeah, yeah.
Not sure on the exact numbers. I'm kind of glad they didn't do it, though. This wouldn't have made any big waves. It would have came and gone, I think. I don't think it's possible to make a mark in the MMO genre. You got to innovate more. There's got to be something new and different.
I would say, as far as art styles go, I would say that Incredibles TF2 thing is maybe my favorite. I really enjoy that art style. Playing an MMO in that art style would have been very... I would have loved it. I would have jumped right in. But I think they made the right move here. I think sticking with games that are moving with the flow of the landscape of gaming culture is better. Let's make games that are popular for a year. Because we change our... I mean, we talk about it all the time. Oh, this is the crafting survival year. And this is the MOBA year. And this is the year of the... And before that was the year of the MOBA. MMO. And the landscape changes. And they're going to... It sounds like they want to be more fluid. And I think that's the way to go.
I think it's a lot of people just trying to play catch-up all the time. Trying to recreate somebody's genius. And, like, I don't want to play a game that's just trying to imitate. Like, I want to play new and original games. So, I don't know.
I really hope that EverQuest Next has broad, broad shoulders, man. Because that's going to be our WoW.
It's, yeah.
It's the only option. There's nothing else on the horizon.
I'm just disappointed that the only MMOs that I've seen to see these days that even try to make it are fantasy-based. Like, I think there's enough room for a different genre, a different
I think PlanetSide 2 is doing well. I don't know. It's not crushing, but it's doing well. You know, and it's a shooter MMO. You know? Bobby, now, I don't think we've talked about this. How excited or not excited are you for EverQuest Next? Because this is, like, one of my top 3 games, I would say. Where are you, being a non-EverQuest player, but being a WoW player... And now knowing that Titan's not going to come out.
I didn't have any high hopes for Titan at all. EverQuest Next, not very excited for, but I'm just not looking for that type of game. Even if it is really good and amazing, it's just those games that are that large is not really what I'm spending my time on these days. So I really hope that it does succeed and that it does do well and that it's something different, something that we haven't seen before, but... I don't know. Even if it is great, you probably won't see me playing it too much.
So here's my non-sexual analogy. Okay. It's kind of like The Love Boat, all right? The Love Boat was a terrible TV show. Terrible. But there was only fucking 10 channels, and that was the highest production channel. Millions of people were watching Love Boat. 20, 30 million people. You can't get those numbers today because there's so many channels and so many options. And that's what we're seeing in PC gaming. There's just so... Indie guys are just dumping shit every day. There's how many games a day, guys?
Yeah.
5 to 10 games a day?
It's a saturated market.
Yeah. And back in the day, it was only AAA. And maybe some, like, AA, if you want to say it. There wasn't indie titles. Now it's, like... You could almost, like, think of a game and then go and find it because somebody's already made it. We're getting to that point. Mm-hmm. So... Yeah, so basically that's all I gotta say.
Okay.
You know, I put on our Steam curator page, we need a few more reviews to officially be curators, but it says describe your channel or your curator page, and the only thing I put is, you know, it says DL Gaming recommends, and then you fill in the rest. And I just put anything worth your time.
Yep.
So when I play a game and when I recommend it, like, that's what I think of. Is this worth people's time? Not even money, because money, whatever, maybe it'll be on sale. You know, I don't think that's really assessing a game too well, but is it worth your time? Because there are so many games out there. Like, you have so many options.
And First of all, I can't believe you didn't run it by me. And second of all, I think it's perfect. Honestly, yeah, I really do.
It's perfect, because if a game, you gotta think, It's like TV. I don't watch too much TV anymore. There are so many good shows out there. It used to be you could say, I'm just going to watch the good shows. Now you don't even have time for that.
Yeah.
You've just got to watch, you just got to take your pick from the really good ones.
That's why, DVR and Netflix is good, because you don't have time for commercials anymore.
Yeah.
You got to fast forward through them.
All right, so should we talk about this travesty known as the live-action trailer?
Travesty?
Travesty. What's the difference between travesty and tragedy?
A V as in travesty.
I always feel when people say travesty, I'm like, come on, dude, just say tragedy. Don't try to be all fucking smart about it, guy.
So you hated it, huh?
I thought it looked really cheesy, man. I thought
It looks fan-made.
I think I got a problem with, the makeup. I don't know.
Okay,
but you wanted to talk about live-action trailers in general.
In general, yeah. This one. But, see, your point that it looks like fan-made, these fan-made films are getting millions of views now. And they look kind of cheesy because they're fan-made. So I think... who made Shadow of Mordor, please? Whoever they are. I think they were like... If those are getting millions of views... And cosplay is so popular right now. We'll just do it at that level, and it'll be fine. This is official, by the way. This wasn't. It looks fan made, but you know they did it on the cheap. And Monolith Productions, I guess, thought, okay, people are enjoying this. Let's just do it on that level. Do it on the cheap. And I'm glad I enjoyed it. You guys watched it without sound, and I did look really bad early on.
It's not the worst thing in the world. Honestly, I really don't care that much about it. But how do you feel about live-action trailers in general? Do you think it's misrepresenting?
I strongly dislike them.
Yeah, in general, I don't like them.
I think they generally... I think gamers want to just see the game. They want to see the game and experience it. And if the game's got cutscenes in it, so be it. Show us the cutscenes if you want to show us the production value. Or
Chad,
whatever.
Being in the industry, why are they keeping the gameplay from us? Why is gameplay not in the commercials?
So, most developers, most publishers, the game goes final. Final to it hitting the stores, or is as short a time as possible.
Right.
And they just don't have the time. So by the time they're making these commercials, the game's not even close to being ready to be shown yet.
I see what you're saying.
So they've got to be able to either make commercials quickly, or they've got to be able to do other ways to make commercials. So I think a lot of these live-action commercials are like, okay, we have the concept down, but we can't show video because the game's not ready to show. So we got to come up with some other method to advertise. So this is what we do.
Trying to show people something that doesn't even quite exist yet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they're having concept art and trying to come up with ways to market it based on concept art and other things like that. But I don't think they should be doing that. You should make a game. When it's done being made, start the marketing up, why does it have to come out 2 weeks after you finish the game? Why don't you finish the game and then have it come out 3 months later and do all your marketing stuff then? I understand that's money, you're delaying your money, but it just makes more sense.
And showing gameplay is a lot cheaper than this. A lot cheaper. Yeah. And I brought it up.
Although this one looks like it was made for about $17, so I'm not sure if this one was
cheaper. First of all, rude. No, it's pretty bad. It does look fan. It looks like fan fiction. So that's exactly, but I did enjoy it. But anyway, I brought this up several times, but just because I'm so enamored with the thought, really, that in Europe and in Australia, you cannot use pre-rendered graphics when you're selling the game.
But live action is legal.
I guess you could. Yeah. So that's different. This is not going to show. This is YouTube only. This is not going to be on TV, right?
Yeah.
But
how many PC gamers are getting their video game trailers from TV?
TV, no one. This is for moms. No, what is? I don't know. The Skyrim live action trailer. What? Now that looked like a AAA movie, if you want to say. I mean, it looked fucking dope.
Like Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I was like, oh, wow, what is this? Whatever it is, I was signed up before it said Skyrim. I was like, what is this? Yeah.
But you would have been signed up if it had just shown gameplay. What, right?
No, on that one, vanilla gameplay, yeah. I mean, maybe at the time. But no, yeah. In general, we're against live action. If done right, it's a nice tool.
I think the problem is most of the marketing people that work in video games are not video games.
They're coming from TV.
They're coming from TV, yeah. And other, they don't, our market is so new, they don't know how to market our product.
Yeah.
So they're using their old cliches from TV and movies to try to market our video games, and it just doesn't work.
Oh, I want to go play Skyrim right now.
God, you are,
you know, now that you mentioned so the developer is Monolith Productions, I knew that name sounded familiar. I looked it up real quick. Same guys who made Fear. Fear 1 and 2.
Hmm.
Possibly 3.
I'll pass.
I liked Fear.
Man.
Really enjoyed those games.
I'm wearing my Shadow of the Mordor shirt.
I'm wearing my Evolve shirt. Bobby, what are you wearing?
I'm wearing the red team from Team Fortress
2.
Yeah,
you did change. Nice.
Yeah. Well, so I'm excited for this game. The gameplay makes me want to play it, not this live-action bullshit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, does it hurt the overall experience? No.
Well, look at...
get one more person to play it?
I kind of want to play it less now that I've seen this.
Oh, man.
But anyway.
I like that they incorporated some of the abilities that you have in the game into the live, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have known about that. If this was the first thing that you saw, it's like you heard about this game, Shadows of Mordor. Oh, I'll look it up on YouTube, and this is the first video that came up that you watched, and this was your first impression. How would that affect you?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So, what do we call our listeners? Let's call them DL Gamers.
I was thinking about this.
DL Gamers? Hey, DL Gamers.
No. I either thought just DLers.
It's terrible.
DL heads?
Way bad.
DLians?
Ooh. I like that better.
What do you think?
Yeah. I've just been calling them dudes. I don't know.
DL dudes?
DLians.
Whatever. We'll talk about
this off. We'll put that on the tip. We'll come back.
For right now, I'm going to go with DL Gamers. DL Gamers, check out the fucking thing. Tell us what you think. Put up some comments. Watch the video. Is it terrible? Is it?
It's obviously terrible. How terrible is it?
You guys watch it without sound.
I think we're
sound.
Being way too harsh on it.
You're being way too harsh on it. Really. We're skipping around, you know.
Okay. So what else we got?
I think that's about it.
We got
a few announcements.
Yeah.
I'll run through those real quick. We have... Our website has been redesigned. No new content, really, but just a small redesign on it. So if you haven't seen it, check it out, dlgaming.net.
It's 100 times better.
Yeah.
Oh, also, by the way, those are the same things I just said, also, and by the way, we didn't give out our LOL codes. Nobody went to iTunes and nobody did any new comments. Guys, they're worth $10. Like, go and do it. It's worth $10 online. So,
yeah. Well, maybe we didn't outline that clearly enough. What we're saying is if you go to iTunes and you write a review for us, then we will send you, we have 5 of them to give away, we will send you a LOL League of Legends skin and a ward skin. We have...
Possibly a ward skin.
Yeah, what do we have?
Either
four
or.
Skins
we
and
got one
ward
skin, two Kaylee Riot Kaylees, and two Arcade Misfortunes.
Or shit, if we only get one person, we'll give you two of one. You know, we'll give you two of these.
Like, yeah, we'll hook it up.
But, yeah, I mean, just go there. Do it. Just do it.
Just do it.
Okay, Nike, our new sponsor. Anyway, also a new YouTube video. I guess I'll give a mention for that. I did a tutorial on power leveling your Steam account. I'm currently level 265 on Steam.
What does that put you at?
I think I'm 22nd. However, if you go to steamcollectors.com and you check the listing, it doesn't show private profiles. So not counting the private profiles, I am 22nd highest in the world.
So you think there's somebody that's set to private but higher than you?
I know there are. I know of at least one or two.
It's like he's talking about the Illuminati.
Yeah.
No, I know they're out there.
Oh, yeah,
they're
controlling
the whole thing, man.
We're a tight group.
Yeah. We're tight. You're not in it, bro.
Not yet.
I think I'm 11.
When I get to the top 10, then...
You got to, like, sacrifice a goat or something to, like, get in there.
Yeah, but if you want to know how to level your Steam account quickly and efficiently, then yeah, check out that video. I run through it pretty quickly. If you got any questions, you can always message me.
And also, my Skyrim video is finally done, and that will be up in the next couple of days. And yeah, so you can check that out if you don't. If you don't own Skyrim, I mean, it goes on sale every once in a while, not very often, but the amount of gameplay you can get out for $10 is amazing, and you can stretch it out even more.
There's three years, like you did.
There's free mods that are bigger than the original games, and some people say even better. Wow. So
getting money out of that. Yeah, but we'll be putting up more videos on YouTube. Keep an eye on our YouTube channel, DL Gaming, no spaces. We'll be putting new stuff up there a lot in the next coming month or two. Also, this is not really a big announcement, but our buddy Fisty was telling me the other day, they have, I don't know if they confirmed it, but they are making a Lucius 2. Hmm. I don't know why I'm excited for that. Like,
what
I didn't even...
Lucius?
That was the one where you play as the kid...
Yeah,
and
you're evil.
The Omen,
and you have to kill people without.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And there was
satanic grandfather.
There's butt sex in there.
Yeah. Come on, anal.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm excited for that game. Like, I didn't really enjoy.
All about.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the casting couch.
You said that last week.
We said that last. Dude, where have you been, bro? Where have you been? We record a podcast and you just like delete it from your memory.
Where you guys?
Empty the trash bin.
What am I doing here?
So much goes on in his brain during his work week, so he has to forget everything.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure he's got to make room. All right, so I think that about wraps it up.
So titties.
Yeah, later, guys.
Yeah, titties.